Our beloved Heavenly Father, we thank you on this 18th of February, 2018, for a lovely day, even with the fluffy new snow that we've gotten, and the temperatures. We're reminded of so much going on right now across our country, but particularly the many people here in our area that have been injured because of car accidents with the snow and the ice and all those other things. Too many of their names to list to you. You know who they are. And we just thank you for the opportunity, as always, to worship you in spirit and in truth and sing your praises. We thank you, Lord, in your name, Jesus. Amen. I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the nations. I'll sing praises to thee among the people, for thy steadfast love is great to the heavens, and thy faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. I lift my eyes up unto the mountain. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, Maker of heaven, Creator of the earth. Oh, how I need you, Lord. You are my only hope. You are my only prayer. So I will wait for you to come and rescue me, to come and give me life. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. You pulled me from the miry clay and showed me where to walk, from fear into security, from the quicksand unto the rock. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. There's a new song in my heart to sing. There's a new song, praises to my King. You pulled me from the miry clay and showed me where to walk, from fear into security, from quicksand onto the rock. Come, now is the time to worship. Oh, come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Oh, come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Pleasure is all remains,
to those who gladly choose you now. Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. Early in the morning, I will celebrate the light. When I stumble in the darkness, I will call your name by night. Lord of heaven, God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty, and you are holy, Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. To the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand, and the sheep of his hand. Well, of course, you know this week was Valentine's Day. But on the same day as Valentine's Day was Ash Wednesday. And though we are not a liturgical church, the issue of the beginning of the Lenten season and the opportunity, we'll say, to fast is important and worth considering. I want to mention a few things today before we get to the Word. One of those comes from the Imprimis, which is a publication of the Hillsdale College, and written by Amy Wax. A good question that we have to really be asking these days: are we free to discuss America's real problems? And of course, there's a lot of abstract talk these days on American college campuses about free speech and the value of free inquiry, with plenty of lip service being paid to expansive notions of free expression in the marketplace of ideas. But I think what we're learning is through recent experiences is that, you know, if you write about a controversial type op-ed, that most of this talk is not worth very much. So, good question to ask. We have, in weeks past, remembered the things we need to be praying for America. And by the way, I believe today is President Trump's birthday. So we certainly, his 70th birthday, I think. So we need to be remembering him in prayer. And we want to pray for God to intervene spiritually across America as we call upon Americans to pray for our nation, just like on the National Day of Prayer, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, Ephesians 4:3. So basically we'd say, Lord, use us in all relationships. Holy Spirit, we ask you to move upon and call all generations, all ethnicities, all churches, all denominations, all networks, and all languages to pray. Father in heaven, increase exponentially the number of gatherings for prayer across America. Jesus, we ask you to call all leaders of denominations, etc., etc., government, education, churches, networks, cities, to create thousands of gatherings. And we pray, Lord Jesus, for the National Day of Prayer Task Force. And, of course, Dr. Ronnie Floyd, who's the president of National Day of Prayer, and to lead Dr. Floyd as he oversees and leads the national observance of National Day of Prayer from Sanctuary Hall in the United States Capitol Building on Thursday, May 3rd. And Father, provide wisdom, grace, and stamina to the staff team of National Day of Prayer Task Force and all who will be working to bring these prayers and prayer gatherings together for May 3rd. So a big undertaking, very important. I've always been involved with the National Day of Prayer, bringing it here to New Hampshire many, many years ago. One of the things that we have looked at in the past, that I think is pretty interesting, is from Technocracy News and Trends. FBI director, the whole of Chinese society is a threat to the U.S. And China is completely intentional about everything it does to gain foreign influence. And its whole national apparatus is focused solely on gaining foreign influence by espionage, hacking, Confucius Institutes, trade companies like Huawei, and to a technocrat mind, efficiency and persistence are supreme in every action as a purpose. Punked. Google tests robot to chat with your friends for you. Six U.S. intelligence agencies warn against using China's Huawei phones. And of course, there's many other such things that are contained in this newsletter, but those are the ones I thought most prominent to be looking at. The other thing, of course, it's very prominent in the news at this particular moment, is the shootings that have happened all over the country, and the media is really ignoring one crucial factor in the Florida shooting case with Nicholas Cruz. The guns and depression, trouble cited, but key information not yet disclosed. This article is written by David Kupelian, talking about these mass shootings and so forth and so on. And this found out in interviewing many of the young people at the school that they actually knew that he was planning it, but didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings by talking about it or predicting it. Of course, I'm not going to give the whole list of it, but disturbing number of perpetrators of school shootings and similar mass murders in our modern era were either on or recently coming off of psychiatric medications. For a few of the most high-profile examples out of many others include Columbine mass killer Eric Harris was taking Luvox, which is like Prozac or Paxil or Zoloft or Abexor. Patrick Purdy went on a schoolyard shooting in Stockton, California. 25-year-old Purdy murdered 5 children and wounded 30. Had been on, I have a hard time pronouncing some of these drugs, amitriptyline, for an antidepressant, as well as antipsychotic drug Thorazine. Kip Kinkle murdered his parents in 1998. The next day went to school in Springfield, Oregon, and opened fire on his classmates, killing two and wounding 22 others. He'd been prescribed both Prozac and Ritalin. In 1988, 31-year-old Lori Dan went on a shooting rampage in a second-grade classroom in Winnetka, Illinois, killing one child, wounding six. She'd been taking antidepressant anafrenil as well as lithium, long used to treat mania. Paducah, Kentucky, late 1997. 14-year-old Michael Carneal, son of a prominent attorney, traveled to Heath High School and started shooting students in prayer meeting taking place in the school lobby, killing three, leaving another paralyzed. Carneal was on Ritalin. 2005, Jeff Weiss, Minnesota Red Lake Indian Reservation, shot and killed nine people, wounded five others before killing himself. He had been taking Prozac. Joseph Weisbecker, 47-year-old, this one's interesting, after he began taking Prozac, shot 20 workers, a standard gravure company in Louisville, killing nine. Prozac maker Eli Lilly later settled a lawsuit brought by survivors. Kurt Dance, 18, shot his own father to death in 1996, a little more than 2 weeks after starting on Prozac. He said, "I didn't realize what I had done until it was done, what I had done." John Hinckley, age 25, took four Valium 2 hours before shooting, almost killing President Ronald Reagan. Andrea Yates, one of the most heart-rending crimes in modern history, drowned all five of her children in a bathtub, insisting in her voices commanded her to kill children. She had been involved saying things like, she asked me if I thought Satan could read her mind and I believed in demon possession. And Dr. Ringels, after evaluating Yates for a few days, recounted an experience she had the birth of her first child. I won't read on the whole thing, but she was on Effexor, which was Wyeth's best-selling drug, by the way, $3 billion in sales. One more case instructive, that of 12-year-old Christopher Pittman, who struggled in court to explain why he murdered his grandparents, who provided the only love and stability he'd ever known in his turbulent life. When I was lying in my bed that night, I couldn't sleep because my voice and my heart, my head, kept echoing through my mind to kill them. Christopher had been angry with his grandfather, who disciplined him earlier that day for hurting another student during a fight on the school bus. So later that night, he shot both grandparents in the head with a .410 shotgun as they slept, and burned down their South Carolina home. I got up, got the gun, I went upstairs, pulled the trigger. Of course, he was on Paxil and Zoloft. Of course, we know that Paxil's adverse drug reactions, according to the FDA approved, include mania, insomnia, a whole bunch of other things. Hallucinations, delirium, abnormal thinking, whatever. The other interesting thing is that the pharmaceutical manufacturers, understandably nervous about publicity connecting their highly lucrative drugs to murderous violence, but basically, after all, they are far bigger sponsors of TV news. Pharmaceutical companies, they don't want any free publicity of this sort. So GlaxoSmithKline was ordered to pay millions of dollars to the family of a 60-year-old Donald Schell, who murdered his wife, daughter, and granddaughter in a fit of rage shortly after starting Paxil. Drug companies' legal teams have quietly and successfully settled hundreds out-of-court cases, shelling out hundreds of millions of dollars to plaintiffs. And pharmaceutical giant Eli Lilly fought scores of legal claims against Prozac in this way, settling for cash before the complaint could go to court, while stipulating that the settlement remains. Brings a key question. When are we going to get official confirmation as to whether Nicholas Cruz, like so many other mass shooters, had been taking psychiatric drugs? Okay. Now to the Word of God. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, which of course comes after 1 Corinthians. Romans and Corinthians. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, that's on page 1685 in my Bible. It's a chapter with 18 verses. I'm going to read the first 9 from the English Standard Version. So this is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. And I'll read through verse 9. As we beginning to commend ourselves again, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts, to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. I've just read from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9.
And continuing on in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 18, also from the English Standard Version. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all, because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, To this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 18 from the English Standard Version.
Well, praise the Lord for the reading of His Word. One of the most recognizable scriptures, I've certainly quoted it in many different venues, is 2 Corinthians 3, 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. As people like to talk about freedom or liberty, not recognizing if the Lord isn't in it, if the Lord is not there, there is no freedom, there is no liberty. And of course, just before that, yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. So that would be the case, of course, referring to the Israelites predominantly, but also the Gentiles too. That reading Moses, in other words, reading the books of Moses or the Pentateuch or something like that, that there's a veil over people's hearts. Now, how does that veil get off of their hearts? How does the veil get off of our hearts? But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. It's interesting using the word turn towards the Lord. It's like saying, okay, if you've got your back to somebody, you don't hear them well, you certainly don't see them. One of the reasons we have a rear view mirror and a side view mirrors in a vehicle is because you can't look in front of you and see behind you at the same time. So many times in the days before the fancy side mirrors on cars and the more fancy rear view mirrors, we used to have to turn and try to quickly take a look behind us so we could see what was behind us. And so this is the way it is with the Lord too. And we look at how many of the liberal churches, we'll call them liberal churches, don't talk about repentance. And of course, repentance is absolutely mandatory. As Ephesians 2:8-9 says, by grace are you saved through faith and not that of ourselves. And of course, the issue there would be that you're turning to the Lord, and of course you're repenting of your sins. But the issue is, most of us have sinned so much in our lives, it's not like we're going to have to remember every single sin and repent of every single sin. What we're going to do is we're going to repent in general, so to speak, knowing we can't earn our salvations by grace. But what we're doing is basically turning around. We become a new creature in Christ. So repentance is turning around, turning towards the Lord. The veil is taken off of our heart. And what's that veil that is put on our heart? When we do not face up to the Ten Commandments or what they require, what they ask of us, and so forth, or basically keeping us from seeing the true nature of man, or our own true nature, which is basically sinful. And no, people aren't born good. That's a doctrine that is not biblical. People are not born good. They're born with the sin of Adam, and only the second Adam, Jesus Christ, can take that sin away. Because Jesus, referred to as the second Adam, did what the first Adam was supposed to do, first Adam was supposed to be totally obedient to the Lord, and he wasn't. And what did he do? He hid from the Lord. In other words, he turned away from the Lord, and the Lord had to call him out in the Garden of Eden, "Where are you? And why are you hiding your nakedness?" And of course, the idea of hiding his nakedness is, "I don't want you, Lord, to see me as I really am. And I don't want to see myself as I really am." So that veil that's being talked about here is taken away when we turn towards the Lord. And so we turn towards the things of the Lord. And then the first part of the chapter, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? And so what the Apostle Paul, as the amanuensis of the Holy Spirit, the secretary for the Holy Spirit, you might say, was saying here, okay, look, I thought we really had gone through this. You know, do I have to show you certificates? Do I have to show you, you know, wall hangings and everything else and degrees again? Or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? So, like in many cases, we're looking for recommendations. You want to buy something. You want to go somewhere. You read the reviews. I do it all the time, ordering things on Amazon or other things. I look at the reviews. I read enough reviews to get a recommendation. Of course, then after I bought something, they asked me to do a recommendation. But here we're understanding you yourselves are our letter of recommendation written on our hearts. So in other words, if in fact the people had been unveiled, their hearts unveiled because they had turned towards the Lord, that's the best recommendation there could be. You know, and I've said this before too, just because somebody goes to seminary or goes to Bible college doesn't mean that they're going to be a true and faithful preacher. What is proven, and Jesus said it this way, know them by the fruit they bear, not the fruit they talk about. Lots of people talk about fruit and talk about good intentions. We know the road to mistakes and such is paved with good intentions. It's not the good intentions, the doers of the word, not just hearers only, deceiving yourself. So we have, you know, a multitude of scriptures that fit together in a sense like a puzzle that explains these things to us, and I think explains to us, once that veil is off of our heart, in ways we should be able to understand. And so in verse 4, where it says, such is the confidence that we have through Christ Jesus toward God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us. That once again is so important too, because, you know, what are our claims? Any good that is in me, anything good that I have done, anything good that's in you, and anything good that you have done, is not come from you. When you think about the fact that if it weren't for the Lord, we live and move and have our being, as Acts 17:28 says, in the Lord. If we couldn't breathe for 3 minutes, we're dead. If for some reason the oxygen was shut off in this room for 3 minutes, we'd be dead. If there was no oxygen in the room for 3 minutes, that's as long as we could probably go before we would be dead. And so I want us today to consider the fact, without the presence of the Lord in our society, and we know that the ones that are pushing for tolerance don't want tolerance at all. They just want to get rid of Christians. And of course, I asked the question originally coming from that publication, Imprimis, you know, are we able to actually deal with the problems of America? Do we have the freedom of speech to do that? And the answer is no, we don't. People are being sued and killed and taken apart in many different ways, life being made miserable, who speak the truth. And, of course, we're told speak the truth in love. But people being taken apart, whether they're saying, speaking the truth in love, or they're speaking the truth not in love, they're still getting the same effect. Because some people are saying, look, don't take the veil off my heart. I'm happy the way that I am. I don't really want to be free. Incidentally, just as a bit of history, at the time of the War for Independence, otherwise known as the Revolutionary War, many colonists did not want to be free, did not want to be free of England, and did not want to be free of the king. They were enjoying taking whatever benefits there were. It eventually came down to it where a third of the people joined in to what the English called a rebellion. We called it a righteous revolution. I believe it was a righteous revolution. Why did they choose not to rebel? A lot of them because they said, you know what? We don't care. Well, folks, as we close this, I just hope that you care enough to remember. Keep your face towards the sun. The S-O-N. Don't turn your back on him ever. And he is the strong tower that we can run to, as in the book of Psalms where it says that. He's a strong tower that we can run to in our time of need, or our time of trouble. Yes, more trouble is coming. More trouble is coming not only to America, but trouble all over the world. But just like in the days of old Rome, Christians had to run to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word is true. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for instructing us today that we will continue to look towards the Lord. Those things that we have done, we shouldn't have done, we repent and ask your forgiveness. And Lord, that we know that we are saved, not by our own doing, but by your generosity and grace. And Lord, we pray that we will continue to walk as those that know they are saved because Jesus Christ is King. We thank you, we praise you. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen.